10 years ago last month, religious commentator Karen Armstrong heralded the global release of the Charter for Compassion. A couple of years prior, she had been given a TED Prize to fund ideas worth spreading, and Dr. Armstrong was captivated by the one idea she considered worthiest of spreading, namely the Golden Rule, as it gets variously expressed in the wisdom traditions. So she worked with a panel she called the Council of Conscience, comprised of authorities from Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and Confucianism, in wording the final version of the 2009 Charter, which has been in circulation for more than a decade now. The principle of compassion lies at the heart of all religions, ethical and spiritual traditions, calling us always to treat others as we wish to be treated ourselves, the Charter declares. We therefore call upon all women and men to restore compassion to the center of morality. Born of our deep interdependence, compassion is essential to human relationships and to a fulfilled humanity. Knowing how essential it is to our human fulfillment, Dr. Armstrong maintains, we probably ought to be more adept in practicing it. But how do we become adept? Just a year after releasing that charter, Dr. Armstrong published her book titled 12 Steps to a More Compassionate Life. Practice is more important than theory, and it is possible to work on mental processes just as you work out in the gym to enhance your physical fitness, she writes, adding that all of us have to learn to use our mental energies more kindly and productively. In doing so, we will likely have to break some of our worst emotional, mental, social, and spiritual habits. As Dr. Armstrong herself notes, we really are quite addicted to our likes and our dislikes, our prejudices, and we need to be weaned from them, and we can't do it all at once. This led to her devising a sort of guide as to how, little by little, we can incorporate the ideal, the compassionate ideal, in our daily lives. The sequencing of her steps is interesting. It begins with number one, learn about compassion, and ends with number 12, love your enemies, which we all know is far easier said than done. Understanding that, it makes sense for us to spend some time together today on step number 3, in which we practice self-compassion. There is a Peanuts cartoon done by Charles Schulz that depicts the ordinarily sage and sanguine character of Linus shouting, "I love humankind, it's people I can't stand." Most of us have voiced that sentiment ourselves at some time in our lives, more or less emphatically. And my guess is that frequently one of those people we can stand the least is the one we see staring back at us in the mirror. Yet the practice of compassion requires internal work as well as external effort if it is to succeed in altering our day-to-day existences. The world religions all insist that what we call God or Brahman or Tao is not something distant out there. It is enshrined in every single human being, in every single creature, in fact, and that every one of us is therefore a sublime and sacred mystery, Dr. Armstrong contends. We recognize flaws in some of our closest friends, but this does not diminish our affection for them. Nor should it affect the way we value ourselves, she writes in her book. Before we can make friends with others, we have to make a friend of our own self. As Dr. Armstrong observes, there are both positive and negative versions of the Golden Rule. You heard some of them this morning in our Time for All Ages. Positive version tells us to do unto others as we would have them The negative version, usually attributed to the great Rabbi Hillel, tells us not to do what is hateful to us and to others. This is Dr. Armstrong's favorite version, but as she knows, it contains only a summary of that religious law. When Rabbi Hillel proclaims it, he tells his listener to go and study it, effectively to make it an action item, a practice to more routinely embody in life. It is also a call for us to attend what is hateful toward our own selves. People who have been taught to despise themselves cannot easily respect others, Dr. Armstrong maintains, let alone demonstrate genuine kindness. Once you have started to feel a genuine compassion for yourself, you will be able to extend it toward others, Dr. Armstrong maintains. Part of what such compassion does is connect people with their unique capacity for kindness. Prior to returning to congregational ministry, I for many years had a clinical practice in New York, and many of the therapy clients I worked with struggled with feelings of shame and self-loathing. An exercise I often taught them was to place their hands over their own hearts while they spoke affirming messages about themselves. A rabbi friend of hers once impressed on Dr. Armstrong the importance of understanding that declaration from the book of Leviticus in a particular way, as a commandment to love yourself in order that you might better love your neighbor. Our call to worship this morning was taken from another famous passage in the Hebrew Scriptures that is often called the Micah Mandate, in honor of that prophet who reminds us mortals what is asked of us, specifically to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly. Consider this. If we want to inhabit a more compassionate world, we actually have to love kindness. A recent newspaper article in a national newspaper, a recent article published in a national newspaper reported that researchers have found a sharp decline in recent years in Americans using words like love and kindness and humility in our public discourse, suggesting that we have grown increasingly uncomfortable naming moral ideals and spiritual values. If we do not articulate these now, we are at risk of forgetting how much they matter to us at a time when we desperately need to remember them. From the fragmented world of our everyday lives, we gather in search of wholeness. We cherish our oneness with those around us and the countless generations that have gone before us, the late Unitarian Universalist minister Philip Hewitt declared. We would hold fast to all of the good we inherit, even as we would leave behind the outworn and false. The Charter for Compassion attempts to reclaim the best of all the wisdom traditions throughout the ages and around the world by reinforcing both the timelessness and preciousness of the Golden Rule. Expressions of the Golden Rule emerged in what has been called the Axial Age, so they have been around for millennia now in Eastern and Western traditions alike, for maybe 2,500 years or more. Humankind undeniably has less tolerance for barbarism than it did in centuries prior, so we do seem to be learning as we go. But our present times give us the curriculum we must master now. In 2011, Dr. Armstrong delivered the Ware Lecture at the UUA General Assembly in Charlotte, North Carolina, which commemorated the 50th anniversary of the merger of Unitarians and Universalists into Unitarian Universalists. In her address titled The Challenge of Compassion, she asks that we UUs think a little more deeply about compassion and also discuss its merits, since this is the test of spirituality, this which enables us to enter into our best selves and into the presence of what some have called God, yet so often you don't hear about it. A refrain throughout Dr. Armstrong's books, across all 12 steps, is remember, remember. Remember that, she writes. Remember this. Her tone sounds almost rabbinic, or perhaps prophetic. Hear, O mortal, hear. Certainly, we need to be reminded to be compassionate. She notes that compassion fatigue in our own era is almost epidemic, since all forms of media have called our attention to the scope of human suffering and cruelty around the globe. We see images, we hear reports, we feel helpless, we grow cynical, and we might even be tempted to slip into a casual cruelty or adopt a caustic tone ourselves. She is right to observe that it is challenging to become and remain compassionate in the midst of hard times, but also she's right in noting that confronting the challenge is a moral, religious, and ethical imperative. It actually helps us to recognize our struggles and to recommit to our primary spiritual aim, as people recovering from their addictions in 12-step programs frequently say. Each Sunday in our service during Kindled Concerns, our worship leader prays, may fellow feeling encourage each of us toward ever more compassionate living. We need to be intentional in this practice of compassionate living. Try keeping a catalog of the kindnesses you have known and the kindnesses you have shown. Compassion is not merely an idea worth spreading. It is also an ideal worth enshrining, not just in our faith communities, but also in our closest relationships, including that very intimate one that we have with ourselves. In our families and in our households, in our workplaces and in our towns, in our states and in our nations. Now that I no longer work with therapy clients, I sometimes place my hand over my own heart, just as a reminder to myself that we are all asked to love kindness. Love kindness. The heart knows this best. The teaching of compassion, the exercise of soul, will open the heart, Rabbi Avraham Sotodorp maintains, and then nothing will be impossible. We have to be patient with ourselves and one another as we learn more compassionate living. Dr. Armstrong's charter has had considerable success globally since 2009. It has been translated into more than 100 languages and been adopted by schools, congregations, and even whole cities. Read it if you have not already. Sign it if you are so inclined. Keep a copy nearby for reference. The Charter for Compassion has opened up conversations that are necessary but not sufficient in themselves. Communities of practice, such as ours here at UU Wellesley Hills, can make us more adept in practicing compassion. Tonight is the last night of Hanukkah, and within a matter of days, we will be at the end of not only a calendar year, but the end of a whole decade. This has not been a very kind year, nor a kind decade, frankly. If it is a source of personal mortification that only gives us all the more reason to be compassionate with ourselves and with one another, with our neighbors and our enemies too, including the ones we find within, why not make your New Year's resolution a simple and significant one, just to remember to love kindness with your whole heart and soul and mind. In the end, what could be better for each?